G'day Cubs fans from all around the world. This is Dallas from Sydney, Australia, and this episode is brought to you by proud Patreon supporters just like me. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the best marginal analysis and some cracking internet muscle flexes. This is the Ivy Envy Podcast. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 410th episode of the IVMV podcast. We're going to look at some big picture topics on this episode, and I think these are topics that are on the minds of a lot of Cubs fans right now. And the topics kind of revolve around this question: what is wrong with the Cubs? And we will talk about why this team has been losing more lately, and we're not neglecting the positive stuff, though. We'll talk about what's going right for the Cubs. We'll answer a couple of listener questions, one of which is on Jason Hayward and what's wrong with him. But I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey. Kurt is on vacation, so it's just you and me, Andy.
Yeah, it's a little lonely here, but Kurt will be back soon. Hope he's having a good time and feeling refreshed. It's kind of a good time to, you know, sort of get away from watching the Cubs, if that's happening.
He picked a good time to get away from watching the Cubs.
So hopefully when he gets back and gets back into the routine of paying attention to the Cubs, they'll go on a streak.
Yeah, hopefully. But as far as this podcast goes, we have to bring our A game tonight, Andy, because Kurt's since Kurt's not here, the both of us need to be 16.67% better to make up the difference. So I feel like I can do it. Are you feeling it?
I mean, that sounds like just the usual for me. So. Yeah, I'm up to the challenge. Let's do this.
Good. Well, a few things to take care of here first. I will be in Cincinnati this week on Tuesday and Wednesday. I will be there to watch the Cubs take on the Reds. And, boy, I think if there's a team to get back on track against, it's the Reds. I mean, well, Patton Coomer were talking about, you know, that's a good ballpark to get back on track with or in. And that... The weather will be warm. The weather will be warm, and the Reds just don't have great pitching. So I think this is going to be when things turn around. So
yeah, as I was looking into team stats, well, the Cubs are going to have to turn things around too, because with a lot of the team stats that I looked at, they were kind of performing as well as the Reds in recent days, in multiple facets of their game.
Yeah,
boy, but you're right. Yeah, that'll be the team to get them right. I hope.
Yeah. So if you're going to be at these games, reach out. Let's meet up at the game. You can email me, Corey, Corey, at ivmv.com, or you can tweet at ivmv. I've already heard from several listeners that will be there, so it should be fun. And don't forget that John Baker Day is coming up. July 29th, we'll be celebrating John Baker game, the John Baker game, the two-year anniversary with John Baker himself. It's at Nisei Lounge. There will be live performances by Danny Rocket and Katie Day. You can find all of the information and buy your ticket to the event at ivmv.com/John Baker. Tickets are $25. That gets you a shirt, a drink ticket, entry into the event. And if you like the shirt enough, just go ahead and buy it. And you're not able to attend the event, go ahead and buy a ticket, and we'll make sure that you get a shirt. We'll send it out to you. So, and all of the proceeds for this event are going to Cubs charities. So let's talk Cubs baseball. I think a lot of fans are a little nervous about how the Cubs have been playing lately. I did not expect a 1-6 week this season.
Me neither, you know, and I really should have stored Wilbur somewhere out of sight, because it's just sitting there droopy next to the shoes by the front door, and it's depresses me every time I look at it.
Yeah, mine's just laying on the deck. Just it's still getting weathered, but not an
it's
an
still
upright,
not gonna make it through the season.
It's not a prostrate weathering.
It's a weathered prostate.
Oh man. So yeah, I think even if you're not nervous or concerned about the Cubs right now, these just have not been fun games to watch. And it's kind of like taken the joy out of Cubs baseball, at least as for me in the last week. Well, a sweep to the hands of the Cardinals, like that's enough right there to kind of take the joy out of things. But they looked pretty rotten in this Marlins series too. So I don't know. Definitely these games this last week and different points really kind of throughout the month of June, they just haven't been as fun as the games were earlier in the season. So on June 1st, the Cubs had a winning percentage of 708, and right now they have a winning percentage of 649. So about a 60-point drop in, 26 days? They've gone 13-11 this month, and it's just not the domination that we saw earlier in the season. We're also seeing closer games, both in wins and losses. The games are closer, and so while I don't think that it's I don't think that either of us feel that this is a time to be alarmists, at the same time, I think it's fair to consider what the differences between April and May and June have been, and what those differences are right now, and why the Cubs aren't clicking right now like they were before. So we're going to look at what might be a little bit off with the Cubs and bring it back to the positive afterwards and look what's going right. But Andy, what's going wrong with hitting?
Well, first of all, when you say that winning percentage number, it sort of puts things in perspective. I mean, we can't be too depressed, as you know, we, I don't know, 2013 is kind of fresh in my 2012, 2013 are kind of fresh in my mind still, and the caliber of play that we saw those seasons. So it's not like the Cubs haven't done well at all in June, but man, May was so awesome that it sort of makes June seem that much worse.
Well, and there's anyway, still, it's also still worth mentioning they're 22 games over 500.
Right. And still with the comfortable lead over the second place Cardinals as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so with the hitting, it's kind of strange. I mean, they're still getting on base as usual, but they're striking out a lot and not coming through with runners in scoring position. Right now their K rate is pretty high at 24%, which is fifth in the NL. Giants are the best with only 18.4%, and the Cardinals are second best at 19.2%.
When you say so fifth, does that mean fifth worst?
Fifth. I'm sorry. Fifth worst.
Okay.
With 24%. And they just haven't come through with runners in scoring position, as I said. I mean, the last 7 days, just in particular, which is all of the Marlins series, the Cubs have a negative 1.35 clutch rating. That's the last in the NL. They did get the same number of hits as the Marlins over the series, but they left 58 on base over those four games. The Marlins left 51 on base, and that's with them leaving a staggering 24 on base in today's game. So they've been getting guys on base, but haven't been able to really convert them, those guys, into runs. So that's been pretty frustrating. So yeah, just the Cubs only scored 14 runs in the series, but of course there was potential for so many more runs given the number of guys that they got on base, and they just weren't able to cash those in. As far as batting average and things like that, I mean, there are a number of guys that aren't performing well. Guys hitting south of 250 in the last 7 days include Coughlin, Hayward, Bryant, Zobrist, and Almora. Guys that had a lot of success in May and in parts of June, but in the past week they've done pretty terrible. I mean, you expand that out to 30 days and it's almost the same names. You got to qualify that with OBP numbers though. I mean, over the last 30, Coughlin is at 412 OBP, Brian at 351, Zobrist at 337. So some of these guys, even when their average is low, it's not like they're not still taking their walks and things like that. But yeah, it's been a particularly bad month for Zobrist. Really struggled after a really hot May.
Yeah, I think, can I jump in with something real quick? Because I was kind of,
yeah,
one thing kind of stood out to me as far as what's going wrong with the bats. And I think that one of the things that we attributed the early season Cubs success to was their ability to draw walks. And that's one thing that they're doing less as a team overall. You know, I mean, you mentioned that there's still some players are still doing it, and there hasn't been a huge drop off, but their season walk rate was 13 or their just their overall their team walk rate was 13.7% in April. It was 10.2, so a pretty good drop there in May, and it's 9.5 in June. So on one hand, it kind of makes sense when you look at what's happened with the team. The Cubs have been bringing in young players like Almora and Contreras, although Contreras is drawing walks. But really, you add Albert Almora to a team, and their walk rate, the team walk rate, is going to go down.
And he's also gotten a lot of playing time too,
right?
Kind of unexpectedly large amount.
And maybe, and you know, also considering that some of the free swingers like Baez are getting more at bats now than they were, you know, than he was earlier in the season. And so I think it's kind of just a symptom of having a younger team and making that team even younger throughout the season by calling up prospects that aren't they're just not going to be as seasoned, and as they won't have the ability to draw walks like a Dexter Fowler or a Ben Zobrist, you know, some of these veterans that really can make pitchers work. And I also think another factor as far with their walk rate dropping is I think that obviously pitchers in the league and pitching coaches and organizations realized what the Cubs were doing by driving up the pitch count and putting so much pressure on the starters and the bullpens. And so I think they just started attacking the Cubs earlier, and that means you can't necessarily take as many pitches, you can't take as many walks, because if you try to go up there and take some pitches, you're going to be down 0-2 on the first two pitches. So I think that opponents also have kind of forced the Cubs to take fewer walks just by attacking them more earlier in the at-bats.
Yeah, and so far they haven't adjusted that well to that approach, but I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah. Did you you talked about their strikeout rates are pretty bad right now, and the Cubs are 22nd in batting average, 22nd out of 30 teams in batting average this month, in the month of June.
Sure. Yeah, it's worth noting though that even like in May, for example, they still were, I think, like middle of the pack as far as batting average. Mm-hmm. That hasn't been the strongest aspect of their game.
No. Mm-mm. Well, before I look at what's wrong with the pitching and the defense, this episode is brought to you in part by SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time, and it's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show that you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to really change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come a long way, and they've created an amazing app and websites that make it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I have several games that I'm interested in, and SeatGeek is the first place that I go. I've used it on tickets. Kurt just used it to get tickets to a Rockies game on his vacation. SeatGeek does all of the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best deal possible. And SeatGeek does all the work, and you get to save time and money by using SeatGeek. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, and that's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And SeatGeek is offering a $20 rebate to our listeners after your first purchase. Here's what you do. Download the free SeatGeek app, tap on settings, then tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code IVY, all caps, IVY, and after you've purchased your first ticket, they will send you $20. It's that easy, so download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. So we're looking at what's wrong with the Cubs, and I mean that in the least Cubs fan way. I'm really trying to not be too reactionary, but I think that I will not fault any Cubs fan for being kind of frustrated with a 1-6 week. I mean, that is something that is not easy to stomach. And you can, you know, there's a difference between the Cubs fans that freak out after, you know, the Cubs win 7 or 8 games in a row and then the Cubs lose a game. And then there's fans that are like livid and frustrated with the team. And I don't think that's necessarily, I think this is a pretty legitimate reason to be frustrated. I don't know if you can so much like find exact reasons, which is what we're trying to do. I think in a way it's 162 game season and these things are going to happen, but it is frustrating. So I do think we need to talk about it. This is a really good team and I'm happy with the 2016 season, but we can't ignore the fact that June has not been on par with April and May. So,
let's still say though, I mean, like with the Cardinals and the Marlins series, I think the Marlins series really should have been a split.
Yeah. Well, and the Cardinals really could have gone. I mean, that was two close games. The Cubs deserved to lose the third game in that series, but the first two games could have gone either way.
Yeah. I mean, so the week could have easily been, you know, I don't know, 4-4, 4-5. How many games were there?
There were seven.
They could have easily won three more games than they did.
Right. I think so, but they didn't. And I guess in a way it's just even if they could have won those games, we're just not accustomed to seeing the Cubs playing this many close games and putting themselves in a position where they can lose a game, that the game could go either way. And so I think in a way it's us being spoiled, but in a way too, I think it's undeniable that the Cubs really just aren't clicking right now.
Yeah.
So as I was preparing for this, I was looking at pitching and defense. I guess the pitcher that kind of stood out to me before I looked at any stats was John Lackey. And maybe that's because Saturday's game was in the back of my mind. It definitely was not a good performance by Lackey. He lasted just 4 1/3 innings. He gave up 7 runs on 7 hits, walked 3. He struck out 5, but this raised his ERA on the season to 3.29, which, again, is not bad. But compared, you know, when all of the Cubs starters had ERAs under 3, that was kind of a nice thing to hang our hats on, I guess. Earlier in the season, we saw some really high strikeout and low walk rate totals for individual games that Lackey pitched. But it's worth mentioning that he did have some rougher outings in April. And if you'll remember, the Cubs offense really carried him and kind of, helped him get a couple of wins. But even the Cubs offense is going to have a hard time carrying you when you give up 7 runs in 4 1/3 innings like he did on Saturday. But that said, what do you expect from a 37-year-old pitcher? I mean, I just think those types of games are going to happen. And I think that if Lackey remains what he's been over the course of this season so far, then he's doing fine. This kind of feels silly, but I guess I should mention it. Arrieta has been worse in June than he's been in like over an entire calendar year. And I don't feel right talking about a guy that in the month he has an ERA of 2.35 and a FIP under 2 in talking about him in the what's gone wrong portion of this episode. But I'll say that he doesn't look quite as sharp as we've seen him look going back to the middle of last season. But he's still really,
he feels so encumbered by that jersey and the uniform now that he's experienced pitching naked.
Right, that must be it.
I think it's been a game changer for him. So,
but
and then his impending Chanticleer tattoo also has to be on his mind.
Right. So let's look at the bullpen. I think that's where the focus should be. I feel like parts of the bullpen have been great. Travis Wood, you know, throughout the month has pitched really well. I think that Rondon has looked good.
When he's had chances.
Right.
Some of the guys that normally look good have been a little rough, like Strope, for example.
Yeah. Okay. So here's who I want to talk about. These, I'm not going to focus too much on Strope, but, so sorry, I wasn't able to run with that lead in.
No, that's fine.
Here's who has not been good. Justin Grimm. He has not been good. And in the last 30 days, this is before all these stats in this episode are before today's game. I did them this morning. I was looking at stuff this morning. So in the last 30 days, he's pitched in 14 games. He had an ERA of 10.38 and a FIP of 6.13. Lots of walks in there. His walk rate in the last 30 days is 13.8. Not good at all. Opponents are hitting 350 off of him. So he's not been good. And If you want to look at who has been worse based on win probability added and pretty much anything else you want to look at, look no further than Mr. Blister, Clayton Richard.
Mr. Blister. He took that title away from Kerry Wood.
The more you look at his numbers, the worse it gets. I mean, he has just been atrocious. In the last 30 days, he has a walk rate of 15%, worse than Grimm. And his strikeout rate is 5%, just atrocious. And opponents have hit 471 off of him in the last 30 days.
Wow, that's crazy. He was fairly serviceable at times.
Yeah,
last season. This season, he just been so unreliable.
Yeah, terrible. And speaking of guys that have been walking more than they strike out, Adam Warren can be thrown into this what's gone wrong conversation. Warren is obviously down in Iowa to get stretched out to potentially be a starter. Like Clayton Richard, Warren is also off the charts with bad strikeout rates and walk rates. His strikeout rate is just slightly better than Richard. It's 5.4% in the last 30 days. And for reference, 13% strikeout rate is considered awful, according to Fangraphs. So Warren and Richard both have been worse than double awful. Just
double
terrible.
Plus awful.
Yeah, worse than double plus. Like double and a half plus awful. I guess it's also worth mentioning that in his first appearance with Iowa to get stretched out, Warren went 3 2/3 innings and he gave up 2 runs on 3 hits. He also walked more than he struck out, 4 walks and 3 strikeouts. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens if he isn't really pitching at a level where the Cubs would want him in the rotation before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, and they, like we talked about a little bit last time, I mean, the Cubs do have options working their way back, you know, bullpen pieces working their way back, and that could definitely leave Richard out in the cold. You know, for example, Joe Nathan pitched in a couple games for the Smokies. He has 2 innings pitched and he gave up a homer, but struck out 3. And there are a few other names as well.
Well, and I think, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think that if Warren isn't pitching well and they don't want, if he's not pitching well in AAA and they don't want him in the rotation, I wonder, and the big reason for this is that I believe the Cubs don't have a day off until the All-Star break, right? They had something crazy like 26 days in a row.
Stretch of 24 games in a row, I think.
Right. And so by throwing a sixth starter in there, they can kind of take a little bit of pressure off the entire pitching staff. But I think if Warren's not pitching well and they don't want him in the rotation, I wonder if they could use Travis Wood, kind of do those bullpen starts that we talked about last season. Let Wood pitch through the order twice, similar to how they were using Hamill towards the end of the season and in the playoffs. Same thing with Hendricks, where you know you don't really let the opponents get in a groove against them because they're only facing him twice. So let Wood pitch through the order twice, then bring in someone like Cahill. So I wonder if they might.
He can give a couple.
Right. So they might have to do something like that if Warren's just not pitching well enough to bring him up.
Yeah, man, listen to this. The bullpen only has a 67.1 left on base percentage for June. What, that seems like a crazy number.
Say
like
that one more time.
They're only stranding 67.1% of base runners.
Yeah.
That seems really low. That's second worst in the National League, only to the Rockies.
Wow. Huh. Now, in looking at defense, what's gone wrong with defense, I do want to say that I think because stats aren't as comprehensive with defense yet, it's hard to look at these things objectively. It's not easy to find splits or game-by-game stats, especially for individual players. And plus, it's just not as easy to measure defense. Technology is getting there, and I think we'll see some big improvements over the next number of years. So I think we're kind of stuck with evaluating defense with our eyes, which isn't necessarily a good thing. You know, I mean, we've kind of talked before about how it seems like When we evaluate things with our eyes, we tend to see what we want to see and tend to ignore what we don't want to see.
And there's a lot of flashy stuff too with the Cubs as far as defense, and that can kind of distract you
right
from the more mundane stuff.
Yeah. So, and we've talked about some of this stuff here in the last few weeks on the podcast. Addison Russell has roughly played. He's roughly played sorry.
His ridges.
He's played about the same number of games at shortstop this season as he played last season at the position. And right now he has 9 errors at the shortstop position. Last year he had 4. Another thing that we recently talked about was Montero's inability to throw out base runners. He's given up 31 stolen bases and he's only thrown out 2. And that is just a terrible, that is not good. And he looks very slow back there. I think when Grandpa Rossi has a quicker trigger than you do, that's not a good sign. And Montero looks like he's moving in slow motion at times.
I feel though like Bazio and the other coaches should almost talk to the pitching staff and say, hey, I mean, what can we do to help him out a little bit here?
Well,
to control the running game.
And you'll remember after the playoffs ended for the Cubs last year, one of the things, like, you know, they kind of did, like, I remember Theo and Jed kind of doing those, like, state of the organization type interviews and press conferences and stuff. And one of the things that they implied was, the one thing that it seemed like was right at the forefront of things that needed to be addressed in the offseason was stopping the running game and the pitchers doing a better job at keeping guys on base. Cause I mean, it seemed like, didn't the Mets just kind of run all over the Cubs from what I remember? I try to block out as much of that series as I can.
And I remember some other teams too. I mean, like the Padres, for example, are a good base running team and they stole a number of bases on the Cubs. We've seen several teams kind of go wild on the base paths against them.
Yeah. So you're right. I think the Cubs pitching does. Well, yesterday, when we were watching, the game together yesterday, Andy, and we were talking about something else, so I didn't mention it. Someone stole second on Lackey, and Lackey didn't even, like, at any point look over, even glance over there to first base. I mean, he just was focused on the batter and threw. And so, I mean, the guy probably was able to take a great lead and get a good jump because Lackey wasn't even glancing at him. So little things like that, I think they could do to a little bit better to keep the runners in check, but
step off a few more times and at least just even look over. I mean, for Lester,
yeah,
you know, and
right,
run so just little things like that.
Lester,
we saw Fernandez step off the rubber a lot of times and look over at first today.
Yeah,
and it seemed almost silly the number of times he did it, but I think just Cubs pitchers could do a little bit more to, you know, give Montero some support.
Right, just disrupt the running game a little bit more. So. But Montero, I mean, there's no denying the fact that Montero just doesn't look that great back there. So in looking at defense, I'm sure that I'm glossing over some of the negatives when it comes to defense, but according to the Fangraphs WAR, the Cubs are ranked number 5 in all of baseball in defense. And, you know, the team has, I hope I'm not stepping on your toes when you're going to talk about the positive things here, Andy, but I think the team has improved greatly at defense in the offseason and then throughout the season with different call-ups, like calling up Albert Almora. And so I think I'm probably missing something. And, you know, you're probably listening to this and yelling at your car stereo or your earbuds that I'm missing something obvious as far as what's gone wrong with defense. But I'm not really sure that I can pinpoint how defense has caused the Cubs to have a 13-11 record in the month of June. Well,
we can pinpoint a few things. I mean, they've had some really key errors at times. For example, in the Marlins series, they committed 5 errors and the Marlins committed 1. And a couple of those errors were kind of game changing errors. You know, for example, there was the weird Hendricks line from his start where
right.
He went 5 innings pitched. He gave up 4 runs, but he gave up 0 earned runs.
Right.
And that was because Russell committed an error that would have ended the inning in which he gave up that grand slam. You know, so that's just one example.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
Just a pivotal error that has been committed. So that's the kind of stuff they got to clean up. I mean, the Marlins are a good team, and if you commit five errors and they commit one over the course of a series, you know, that could be the difference with a team like them.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I don't know. Like I said, I just had a hard time kind of looking at it because, like I said, there's not, I mean, you have to, you can't, unless somebody out there knows a great way to look at like game by game defensive stats without just like going through and looking at box scores and looking at game day and trying to remember exactly what the situation was. There's not a good way to split things out when it comes to defense. And there's not a really good way to look at that stuff. So, but let's transition over to the discussion on, I guess, what's going right. And so I'm going to hand off this pitching and defense aspect of the team to you, Andy, and you can talk about, the positives.
Sure. And kind of the positive stuff with what's going right on defense is sort of similar to what you're saying. I mean, I just can really only talk about a lot of what I've seen with my eyes, you know, and there's been some really flashy and spectacular stuff to look at, especially in the part of Baez. I mean, that catch and fall into the stands, for example, the kind of popping the ball up in the air to himself and then throwing from a seated position to first and almost getting the runner. And there have been a number of, you know, diving plays and just a lot of flashy stuff. I mean, the Cubs are so athletic.
Yeah.
One defensive performance I want to point out is that Bryant has been playing left field really well. And the broadcasters are starting to take note of that. He's done well out there, and he himself has said it makes sense to start Baez at third and to start him in left field. And so he's been a big time team player about being moved around the diamond a lot. We've seen him play first as well. And so, you know, kudos to him as he's played a really, really good left field, and he's been a good sport about it too.
Well, heck, he even got an inning of shortstop in. Like, you remember that game?
Yeah.
It was maybe like a month ago.
I had forgotten until you reminded me. So, yeah, I mean, they've had some miscues on some kind of basic stuff, but they've done the flashy things, and they've been fun to watch.
Yeah,
but they got to clean up just the basics. You know, for example, in today's game, Bryant makes a really good play to his backhand side at third base to stop a kind of a screamer down the line almost. But then he tries to initiate a double play. Mm-hmm. He double clutches first, and then he throws really high to Zobrist, causing him to jump and miss the out at second. And then Zobrist doesn't have time to get the out at first. You know, so I don't know. It's just little things like that. Like their throws have been off at times. So they got to do the little stuff well, better,
yeah,
I guess, as far as defense is concerned. Pitching overall for June.
Can we stick on defense just for a second, though?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think you raised a good point that, like, the mistakes can really kill you based on, like, the timing. And, you know, you pointed to that Hendricks game. And that's the case. But I think that the flashy stuff also, I mean, the diving into the scene, I mean, you're taking outs away there. That those could have a really big impact on a game too. And so I think, like, it's easy to, I think sometimes it's kind of easy to dismiss the flashy stuff as being like just kind of fluky and thing. And I'm not saying you were doing that, but I think that those flashy things, although they're really fun to watch, and that's probably the most, I guess, beneficial aspect of them, is just, it's just kind of fun to watch. But I think those also make a really big difference over the course of a season. And
just a game too. I mean, they can kind of be turning points as far as the momentum is concerned too. I mean, they can give your team back momentum when you steal an out like that, like Baez did by falling into the seats.
Yeah. And so I was, the morning after that happened, the play where the ball popped up in the air and Baez stuck with it and caught it and was like sometimes you can see second baseman throw from a seated position and get somebody out, but it's really rare to see a third baseman pull that off, especially after the ball's like popped up in the air and everything. Now, of course, it's worth mentioning that after review, the runner was safe, but I texted that to, I think I was talking to Bob from Moline, and I asked him if he saw it, and he said no, and so I sent it to him. I think this is who told me that, and he said, like, just picture, like, if that's the, if that would have been the play that Castro mirrored. You know how he mirrored that Bryant play? Could you imagine, like...
been the gif of a lifetime.
Okay, you can move on to pitching.
All right, thank you. So the pitching's been overall good for June, which you kind of mentioned already, Corey. The team ERA is 3.09, which is second in the NL to the Giants, and they're 13-11 in June as far as their record as a team. Starters have been good overall. In June, they had the best ERA in the NL at 2.63. Opposing hitters are only hitting 206 against the starting rotation, and that is the best in the NL. One other area that they're the best in the NL too is that they have the best left on base percentage at 81.1%. So they're stranding runners. I mean, think about, you can kind of see it in your mind if you try to conjure it, how many times we've seen runners in scoring position, bases loaded, where they're able to work out of it. I mean, we've seen that with Lackey a lot, but with the other guys too. I'm not Lackey, but Lester and the other guys too. So the Marlins series stats weren't terrible really either, with the exception of Lackey and maybe Hendricks. You know, Hamill gave the Cubs a six innings start with two earned runs allowed. Unfortunately, he was going against Fernandez with his, you know, all juiced up on 5-hour energy. And Lester had a good game too. Seven innings pitched with only two earned runs. And I felt like that was a really winnable game. That was the game where David Ross picked him up with that home run to tie it up 2-2, took him off the hook for the loss as the Cubs were down 2-1 at that point. They've been pretty good. It's the bullpen really that's been weak. And so that's what I would point to as what's kind of dragged them down. But the starting pitching has still overall been pretty good.
Yeah. I guess in looking at what's gone right with the offense, as far as the big picture goes, they're still getting on base. In the month of June, they ranked number 8 in baseball in OBP. They're running the bases well. They're 3rd in Fangraph's measurement on base running in the month. And overall, they're 3rd in WAR in the month of June. So, I mean, there are some things going right. Individual player-wise, Anthony Rizzo, although he had to miss a few games, he's really had a good month. Not including today's stats, in the 20 games, he's had 81 plate appearances, and he's hitting .391. He has an OBP of .469, and he's slugging .754. 6 home runs in that stretch, and walking quite a bit, 11.1 walk rate. Not striking out very much, under 15%. So Rizzo's playing well. Chris Bryant has 7 home runs in the month, and just 7 home runs in 22 games. Javi is also hitting well, 4 home runs. He has a .268 batting average. And even though it's a small sample size, I think that we need to mention Contreras and Almora. They've added a lot to this offense in their short time. Contreras is hitting .400 before today's game. He was hitting .400, OBP of .500, and slugging .900. 3 home runs in his first 8 games. He had a 7 or 8 game hitting streak until today.
Yeah.
I think 7 games. So he's been very productive, and he's playing all over the field already. And I think that if he keeps hitting like he is, he'll be plugged in somewhere on defense pretty much every game. I think you have to keep him in there. Almora, he's batting .267, which isn't great, but I mean, man, I'd be happy if Almora is a .267 batter at the end of the season, especially considering
he's been colder lately. But yeah, overall, he's been decent.
Yeah, especially considering what he brings to the team defensively. Coughlin has been getting on base since the Cubs brought him over. He has an OBP, I think you mentioned, Andy, of 412. And that OBP is being driven up by a 20.6% walk rate. Not really getting a lot of hits, but he's getting on base. And so while the Cubs' run production has dropped off quite a bit this month, they're 13th in run scoring in the month of June. There are still individuals that are hitting the ball well and being productive offensively. So I'm not sure if we accomplished our goal of identifying what's gone right and what's gone wrong in the stretch of Cubs baseball, but hopefully we explained a few things. And, you know, after looking at it, I think I have a better idea of what I want to look at for, you know, to see if the Cubs are going to be able to return to their dominance. So,
yeah, and it's worth it's worth saying too. I mean, they just need to get healthy overall too.
But yeah, good point.
I mean, there's a lot of guys dinged up. I mean, Zobrist fouled that ball off. I think he fouled the ball off his ankle, or did he get hit by a pitch? But anyway, I mean, there's just little things like that where he missed a game because of that. Rizzo has the back stuff going on. Fowler on the DL, you know, and just various other injuries too.
Well, and just the day-to-day.
Bill in the chat says it was a hit by pitch on Zobrist. So, yeah, just a lot of little things that they need to recover from and get back to full strength more.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy La Stella is on a rehab assignment in Iowa, so he should be back pretty soon. And so there are, you know, guys working their way back.
Well, and you have Rizzo sitting out for a couple games with a sore back, and I think guys,
and they miss him when he's not in the lineup.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's a long season. Guys have a lot of bumps and bruises, and it's I don't know. Have you ever, when was the last time you slid, Andy?
Yeah, sliding sucks. I hate it. It's terrible.
It's awful.
It's been a while, but it's only been a couple of years, I mean, since I've slid. I mean, it's not like I slide on a major league field, you know. That's got to be a little bit different than...
Well, and they've got probably those sliding pads or something on their hips or something, but man, it still hurts. And
it's terrible.
I remember...
You could see Justin Bohr with a blue... You know, he had a bloody knee today.
Yeah.
I think that was from sliding. It's just rough.
Yeah.
Baseball's hard on, you know, players that play hard.
Yeah.
And go hard and slide, and it's tough on them.
Yep, you're right. So we have a few we have an email from a listener, and then we have something that was posted on our Patreon Facebook group that I want to read. But the first is an email from Mike from Wisconsin, and he said, after this rough week of Cubs baseball, I was doing some thinking about who the Cubs are missing the most right now. Madden is a genius at getting the most out of his players with his lineups, but mixing and matching hasn't produced this week. I can't decide if the Cubs are missing the table setter Fowler or slugger Schwarber the most. Who do you think the Cubs are missing the most right now?
Gosh, I think they miss Fowler a lot. It's not like Coughlin's had a few good games at leadoff. You know, and they've plugged Hayward in there. They've plugged Zobrist in there too. But man, Fowler's been a big key to the team's success this season.
Yeah.
They have a lot of guys that can hit the ball out of the park. And so I don't think they, you know, necessarily miss the Schwarber's power as much as they do Fowler's ability to get on base at the top of the game and at the leadoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think they miss both players. I think as far as who, I think I would agree with you, Andy. But in a way, yeah, I think you could make the case for both players. But what it boils down to is that this team is adequate without both of those players. And I don't necessarily know if we can like say that the Cubs went 1-6 this week because of Schwarber or because of Fowler, or even a combination of the two, or the combination of anybody that's injured right now. I just think it's a slump in a 162 game season, and it's happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think as far as who they're missing more though, I think I would agree with you that it's probably Fowler, but you know, I don't know. I miss Schwarber. So if I miss him, then maybe the Cubs miss him. in our IVMV Patreon contributors Facebook group, which you can join by supporting us on Patreon, Mike threw out a question here, and I thought that it would be good to discuss on the podcast. He said, I need someone to look at analytics and convince me that Jason Hayward isn't absolutely terrible with a bat in his hands. So So is it okay if I just jump in here, Andy?
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. You know, the Cubs did not give Hayward that contract, and the Cardinals did not desperately want him because of his bat. And I think that he really needs to be judged combining offense and defense, which is the reason that I think he got that contract and the reason that the contract was as lucrative as it was. And in that case, according to WAR, he is the third most valuable player on the team behind Bryant and Rizzo. He's actually tied with Zobrist, actually. And he's by far the most valuable defender on the team, the best defender. And, you know, according to numbers, and I think that passes the eye test, too, if you're watching the team, I think he's the best defender they have. I think that there's a chance that Hayward hasn't been completely healthy from the beginning of the season. Wasn't it a wrist thing that was kind of bothering him there for a while?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think after a big contract, he probably doesn't want to go on the DL. He doesn't want to, especially early in the season. He wants to try to play through it. Remember last season, Lester tried to pitch through his dead arm in April, and his numbers were not good, and it really kind of affected his numbers for the entire season. But he had just received his big contract, and I think when that happens, I think a player wants to earn that money, and I think that they don't want to be known as the guy that got the big deal and then was on the DL. And I think you want to show fans and the organization that you're worth that money. So Hayward has been very good in the field, and I guess we're going to try to make the case that he hasn't been absolutely terrible, as Mike puts it, at the plate. And I think in a way I can't really argue that. I mean, if you want to look at some of the more traditional stats, he's scoring runs and knocking in runs better at a better clip than he did with the Cardinals last year. And his walk rate has gone up this year. So I think the way that I would look at it is that he's had a rough start, and it feels like he can break out of this little thing that he's in so far this season. The projections, Zips and Steamer, think that he's going to break out of it. And I just think it's really important to remember that he's not going to be Anthony Rizzo. And I'm not saying that Mike is saying that he is Anthony Rizzo, or he is like a you know, slugger and everything. He's not Chris Bryant. He's a glove first outfielder. And this is a team that's right now, 10 games up in the division, or 10 and a half something. I guess it depends on what the Cardinals do today. So they're 10 games up in June with Hayward not hitting the ball well. And I guess if that's the case, then this is probably a good time for him to experience some struggles.
And you can't just look at this. I don't think it's fair to just look at his offensive performance this season, as, you know, he's been in the big leagues, since 2011, really. And his career batting average is .265. His career on base percentage is .350. And I would expect his numbers to climb more toward what his career average has been, honestly. And he's been getting unlucky. I mean, his BABIP has been kind of low. I think it's climbing a little bit, back up to where it should be. And he's making a lot of, it seems like, at least as far as my eyes tell me, that he's been making a lot of hard contact lately, hitting balls right where they are instead of where they aren't.
Well, in Saturday's game, he ripped a line drive right at the second baseman. So that's
he did that today too.
Yeah. And so I don't think I'm making the case that he has not been absolutely terrible at the plate. I just think it's, and I know that everybody knows this, but it's important to remember that he's a glove first free agent and he's performing very well in that regard. But I don't think I can argue that he's not been great at the plate. But, you know, Cubs didn't bring him in to hit over 300 with 20 home runs. And he is what he is. And I think he's going to get better. And I guess to sum it up, I'll just put it this way. I would much rather Jason Hayward be on the Cubs than any other team. I, I, I dreaded seeing him both with, and he was with the Braves and especially with the Cardinals. He just felt like he could take control. And I mean, I hated seeing him come to the plate during that playoff series with the Cardinals. So I would just rather him be on the Cubs. I guess that's all I have. I know I didn't make the case that he's not been absolutely terrible, but I mean, he hasn't been good. I mean, there's no denying that, but I don't think that you can evaluate a multi-year big money free agent deal 3 months into the first season. So, I'm like I said, I'm not saying that Mike's doing that. There are some fans out there that are doing that, I think. So we don't have an official scary stat of the week, although I think your stat that you shared earlier, Andy, about runners, the number of runners the Cubs left on in that Marlins series, I would say that was pretty scary. But what did you say, 51?
58.
58. Yeah, so that's our scary stat. But Kurt usually manages a scary stat, and I just didn't feel like it was our place to step on his toes or something, or we just didn't do it.
Right. I mean, they had 28 hits, 58 left on base.
Yeah.
And they only scored 14 runs.
Yeah. That's scary. That qualifies as scary, I think.
Yeah.
So internet muscle flexes. Andy, do you have anything?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I actually, hold on a second. I think I have two.
It's hard not to find internet muscle flexes right now. It's pretty easy. I mean, they're everywhere.
Right. Okay. So how many do you have?
Just the one.
Okay. I'll do one. Then you can do one. Then I'll do one. So this one is from this was submitted by Clint in our Patreon Facebook page. And this person says, it'd be nice if the Cubs were more concerned about scoring some runs than this stuff. Maybe it's about dressing up in short, whatever they wore, suit things to go to Miami. So it'd be nice if the Cubs were more concerned about scoring some runs than this stuff. Looks like the Titanic has hit the iceberg and 2016 is sinking fast. Another wasted season, 109 and counting.
Oh my gosh. Wow. All right. Mine comes from Cubs Instagram. It's always a rich, very, what I want to say, a fertile ground for internet flexes, muscle flexes. And so here it is. The first commenter says, for 95 wins, the Cubs need to go 47-42 for the remainder of the season. Looking at the schedule, where do we get 47 wins? ? And this guy responds, same places they've gotten their 48 wins so far.
Major League Baseball. That's where you can find those wins.
Oh, so very simple, straightforward flex. I liked it.
That's good. All right. So this next one, Carrie, who I believe she's in the chat right now watching live, she submitted this. I don't know if you saw it, Andy, but she submitted it to our Patreon Facebook group. And man, I got a kick out of it. It's perhaps the best muscle flex I've seen in a very long time. So this person says, Chris Bryant is a loser. If they trade him, they could at least get some good prospects or a few draft picks. KB strikes out too much, never hits in the clutch, makes too many errors at third base, and is too lackadaisical out there. He's always smiling like he doesn't care. And he's and he's a bad fit for this Cubs team that wants to win.
That's crazy. I mean, how can you be wrong on so many points?
I know.
Man, he's smiling while he's playing a game.
Yeah. He doesn't care. Yep. It's
bull crap.
You know what, Andy?
Knock that off.
KB is just a bad fit for this Cubs team that wants to win.
I was just like really like kind of singing his praises in my mind today as he was able to drive in a run on a sack fly. I'm just like,
yeah.
I mean, how many times have we seen Cubs batters come to the plate and just fail to be able to loft one to the outfield to drive in a run? And KB gets it done. I mean,
I don't know, Andy. I'm going to side with this person. I mean,
yeah,
just hitting a lazy pop fly. How lackadaisical is that? He didn't even want to run the bases.
Smiling while he did it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to agree with this other person. And I also, I just absolutely love sports fans. just I guess their tendency to hate a player, usually for no reason, talk about how terrible they are and then expect a lot in return in a trade. So this, they think they could get some good prospects or a few draft picks, you know, because oh man, I don't think we need to like go on and
that's
on.
That's mental illness right there, right? I mean, that is straight up mental illness.
I can't even keep talking about it. Every single person that's listening to this understands how stupid that person is. So, and if it's you. If it's you and you're listening and you wrote that comment, everyone knows how stupid you are, and apparently you don't. So this just in, you're stupid. keep listening. Keep downloading.
If you would like to say something about this, tweet at IVNV.
Oh, man. So that does it for this episode, which was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. If you would like to support the podcast and become part of the IVNV team, you can go to patreon.com/IVNV. Your support helps us tremendously. We have new supporters to thank this week. Two Californians, Jason from Yosemite National Park and Rob from Canoga Park. So thanks to Jason and Rob. Again, if you would like to be a part of this thing, the pledging levels start at just $1 a month, and there's perks for you to receive at every level, and the perks get better as the levels go up. You can go to patreon.com/IVNV. That's patreon.com/IVNV. Or you can go to IVNV.com and click on the Patreon link on the right side of the page. So the Cubs go to Cincinnati, and so will I. We'll be back on Thursday to talk about the series with the Reds. And until then, go Cubs.
We're gonna pop champagne by the lakeside when the evening comes and the stars align. We're gonna pop champagne, gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.